بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. We continue our readings in the work of Umm Abdullah al-Wadi'iyya حفظه الله تعالى نصيحتي للنساء نصيحتي للنساء. My advice to the women. The author has been discussing the issue of jihad al-nafs, the issue of jihad al-nafs, striving against the soul and fighting against one's own soul to be obedient and to be steadfast upon the straight path. And she mentioned many evidences with regards to this in the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, likewise in the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we have seen in our previous class that really, that in reality, the greatest jihad and the greatest fight and striving is the fight of an individual against his own soul, and the striving that one will make against one's own soul to be upright and to be obedient, to be steadfast upon the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the true jihad and the true battle that comes first. That's an obligation upon every individual who is of the age and has a sane mind. So in our previous class, we left off and the author was discussing the issue of the types of enemies and the reality that the soul can be an enemy to the person, to an individual. And she mentioned that the al-a'da'u thalathatun kama dhakara dhalika ba'du al-a'imma, that the enemies, there are three types of enemies that a person he has to deal with and has to be cautious from and has to be aware of. And she mentioned the first one, al-adu, and the outward enemy, the one who is an outward and apparent enemy from mankind. Likewise, al-shaytan, the devil, he is an enemy of an individual, he's an enemy. So the believer has to be aware of these enemies. Likewise, she mentioned al-nafs, and the soul, it is can be the enemy of an individual, and it could be a means to lead a person to destruction and to devastation and to the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He can bring harm to an individual. That's what the enemy does. The enemy, he brings harm to the one he has enmity against. So there is the outward enemy, those disbelievers and the likes that want to bring harm to the believers. And then likewise, there is an inward enemy. This is the devil, the shaitan. And he whispers, and he is an enemy that he has the power of whispering, and we cannot see him, but he can see us. إِنَّهُ يَرَاكُمْ هُوَ وَقَبِيلُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ مَلَا تَرَوْنَهُمْ, that verily he sees you, him and his tribe, him and his forces, from where you do not see him. From where you do not see him. And likewise, the soul can be an enemy. In the نفس الأمارة بالسوء, Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned about one of the stages of the soul is that it commands evil. That a person's soul can command evil. So we've seen that the levels of striving against the soul, there are four. The first stage to strive and to fight against one's own soul is to learn the haqq, and to learn the truth, and to learn the guidance, and to learn the religion of truth and the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. تعلم الهدى والدين الحق. And the second stage after learning is to apply that. العمل به بعد تعلمه. And the second stage of fighting against one's soul is to apply that knowledge after learning it. After learning it. And after learning it and applying it, then a person, he will or she will move to the third stage of striving against the soul. وهي الدعوة إليه وتعليمه, to teach that knowledge and to call to it. And the fourth stage with regards to striving against the soul, jihad al-nafs, is as-sabru ala dhalika kulli, to be steadfast upon that and patient and perseverant upon learning, upon applying, and upon calling and teaching. These are the levels of striving against the soul. So the enemies, there are three types, she says. The outward enemy, al-adu. Likewise, al-shaytan, he's the enemy. The ulama, they mentioned the levels of striving against shaytan are two. He had al-shaytan, martabatani. And this is because shaytan, he will try to cast doubts, shubuhat and shukuk, in the heart of the believer. And these doubts, they bring deficiency to the iman of a servant. So to fight shaitan in this manner, there must be knowledge in order to defend oneself from the shubuhat the shaitan and he casts into the hearts of the people, and the doubts and the shukuk and the misunderstandings and the deen. This is one of the weapons of shaitan, shubuhat, to cast doubts with regards to creed and belief, to cast doubts with regards to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the religion. And in order to defend oneself against this shaitan in this manner is with knowledge. One will be able to defend oneself with knowledge, to know that these are shubuhat and that they are false and they are flimsy and they have no foundation and the likes. But one who does not have knowledge, that shubuhat may take hold, these shubuhat may take hold in their heart and cause them to leave the straight path or become misguided in deviation. The second level of fighting against shaitan is to know that shaitan, he casts and decorates the shahawat, the desires and the impermissible whims and lusts. And the likes that are corrupt and wicked, and the believer will defend himself or herself from these shahawat by being steadfast and having determination to apply that knowledge and to remain upright, knowing that these are impermissible lusts, and to fight against one's soul to stay away from them, seeking the pleasure of Allah. So to fight against shaitan is to fight against what he casts in the heart of the believers, from shubuhat and shukuk, doubts and misunderstandings in the religion, and this will be with knowledge. And the other manner that shaitan he comes is from ash-shahawat. He will cast shahawat and ahwa, muharrama, desires and whims that are impermissible, and decorate them for the believer. And the way to defend oneself from this is to be steadfast and have determination and apply that knowledge, and to apply that knowledge. So we see here the enemies are three. Al-udu wa shaytan wa nafs. And she says here, فَالنَّفْسُ عَدُوَّةٌ. And this is the point of the topic here. She's mentioning the soul. She's still discussing the issue of the soul. The soul, it is an enemy. لِأَنَّهَا تَدُعُوا إِلَى لَذَّاتِهَا وَشَهَوَاتِهَا. Because the soul, it calls to its desires and its pleasures. It calls to what it wants from its whims and lusts that some could be impermissible. The soul calls to all of them, desires all of them, pleasures and lusts and whims. وَهِيَ فِي دَاخِلِ جَوْفِ صَاحِبِهَا. And it is inside of the individual. The soul is inside of the individual. كَمَا أَنَّ عِنْدُهُ عَدَاءً فِي الْخَارِجِ عِنْدُهُ عَدَاءٌ فِي الدَّاخِلِ. So just as the individual has enemies, and the outside of himself, outward enemies, likewise there is inward enemies. There are inward enemies. And the battle against the inward enemy, it takes precedence. And if a person cannot conquer and refrain his own soul, then how could he conquer the outward enemy? So we continue reading. She says, وَإِنَّ تَسْكِيَةَ النَّفُوسِ لَذَاتُ أَهَمِّيَةٍ بَالِغَةٍ. That verily, purification of the souls, tazkiyatun nufus, the purification of the souls, it has a tremendous importance, a very, very great importance. She mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. And he's talking about the soul. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he swore by the soul, وَنَفْسٍ وَمَا سَوَّاهَا. And by the soul, and the one who has proportioned it and created it and gave it its shape and its form. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. Whoever purifies their soul, then they will be successful. Meaning in this life and in the hereafter. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. And verily, the one who has corrupted their soul, then they will fail and be amongst the losers. They will fail and be amongst the losers. So, as she mentioned, وَإِنَّ تَسْكِيَةَ النُّفُوسِ لَذَاتُ أَهَمِّيَةٍ بَالِغَةٍ, that purification of the souls, it has a great, great importance. Rather, somebody who loses some wealth in this life or some property in this life, maybe someone would consider him to be a loser, or he failed, or he did not become successful in the corporate world, or he did not become successful in the eyes of society and the likes like this. He didn't have a job and a degree and have a big car and a big home, so they say that he's a failure. That's from the eyes of the people of the dunya. But the real failure is the one who lost his own soul. The one who lost his own soul to whims and desires and to disobedience. The one who lost their own soul. So the one who is successful is the one who purifies their soul. Purifying their soul from sins and transgression. Purifying their soul from defects and from the stain of disobedience. And the soul, it can become tainted. And the heart becomes tainted, and the soul becomes tainted with evil and with corruption, with disobedience and the likes. But the one who purifies their soul from this foul, these foul manners and beliefs, foul actions and statements, then this is the one that is successful. And they purify their soul. The means to purify the soul is with beneficial knowledge and the application of that, to be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal. To be obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal upon the beneficial knowledge and the righteous actions. This is the means to purify the soul. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّهَا. As for the one who failed, then they have corrupted their own soul. They have corrupted their own soul by falling into sin and transgression and having the corrupt creed and belief, and also having the foul manners and the evil conduct, and also the actions of disobedience with the eyes and the hand. All of this is a means to taint and to corrupt the soul. And the one who corrupts his soul, then verily, this is the loser. This is the true loser. So she says, وَبِتَسْكِيَةِ النُّفُوسِ يُقْمَعُ الشَّيْطَانِ وَتُنَارُ الْجِنَانِ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ سُبْحَانَهُ. And by purifying the soul, shaitan, he can be curbed and put in check. And he can be stopped by the purification of the soul. And likewise, the high levels of the paradise can be obtained by the permission of Allah, the Lord of the worlds. وَلَيْسَ هُنَاكَ خَسَارَةٌ أَعْظَمٌ مِنْ أَنْ يَخْسِرَ الْإِنسَانُ نَفْسَهُ الْكَرِيمَةُ. She says here a tremendous statement. وَلَيْسَ هُنَاكَ خَسَارَةٌ أَعْظَمٌ مِنْ أَنْ يَخْسِرَ الْإِنسَانُ نَفْسَهُ الْكَرِيمَةُ. That there is no loss, failure, khasara, greater than an individual losing his own soul. Losing his own soul. And that is very precious to him. The soul is precious. That our bodies inside of every individual that is alive, they have a soul. Allah has created for each soul a nafs. And a ruh, and this is from the affair of Allah Azza wa Jal, and this is something amazing that we all know, that inside of each one of us there is a soul. In this life, the soul is tried, and the soul is tested, and the soul will be held accountable. The body in this life, it will die in this life, but the soul will not die. The soul will go to the barzakh, in the grave, and to that level, and to that stage of the hereafter, in the period between this life and the resurrection. And then in that stage, it will either experience pleasure and na'im, or it will experience adab and punishment, according to how it performed in this life. Whether it met Allah Azza wa Jal while it was pure, or whether the soul met Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala while it was corrupted and tainted with sins. And while it was corrupted and tainted with sins. So the one who is a loser is the one who lost their own soul. And then in the day of resurrection, the souls will be resurrected and the bodies will be brought back. And the people will be held accountable. And the people will be held accountable. But the true loser is the one who loses his own soul to whims and desires and to misguidance and to lust and to sins and to misconceptions in the religion and about life. So she says this, she mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, قُلْ إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ الَّذِينَ خَاسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَلَا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. She mentioned the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, the meaning of which is قُلْ, say, meaning say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to those people, إِنَّ الْخَاسِرِينَ, that verily the true losers, الَّذِينَ خَاسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَهْلِهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, they are the ones who lost their own souls and their families on the day of resurrection. أَلَّا ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. This is the clear loss and failure. These people who have lost their own souls, Allah, He mentioned that this is the true loss. And the greatest loss is that a person will lose his own soul and his family on the day of resurrection. Losing his own soul and his family, because the one who goes into hellfire, he will be separated from his family and they will not meet again. And they will not meet again. Those who lose their souls to their whims and desires and to misguidance, they will be punished in the fire and they will not meet their families again. Either their families will go to the paradise and they will be separated forever, or if even if their families likewise are punished in the fire, then they will not see them again. They will not meet again. خَسِرُوا أَنفُسُهُمْ وَأَهْلِيهِمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ This is the greatest loss. ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينُ This is the great loss. This is the great loss. That one will lose his soul and his family because it was not able to check and curb itself and to check its own eyes and its hands and its feet and its heart to abide by the commandments of the one who created it. The one who shaped that soul and proportioned it and formed it. The one who tried it and tested it. The one who created it and provided for it its life and everything that it has. That they were not able to be obedient to their creator. So they lost their soul and they also lost their families. So this is the true loss. A believer should wake up. A sister, a brother likewise must wake up and realize that there is a soul that is at stake. The soul that is at stake is your soul. The soul that is at stake is the soul of each individual. Each individual, we have a soul, and that soul is being tested and tried in this life. And those who meet Allah Azza wa Jalla with the clean soul, then they are successful and they win. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا And those who meet Allah Azza wa Jalla and their soul is tainted, and their soul is tainted with sins and transgression or disbelief, even worse, وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا نَفْسٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ In one narration, إِلَّا نَفْسٌ مُسْلِمَةٌ That no soul will enter paradise except for a believing soul. In one narration, except for a Muslim soul. Yani a soul that submits to Allah Azza wa Jal. A soul that submits to Allah Azza wa Jal. So no one would like to lose their own soul and their families. So this is the reality that the people are facing. She is calling us to remember this and to remind one another there about this, the reality. To take life seriously. So she says, وَلِهَذَا عَلَيْنَا أَن نُحَاسِبَ أَنفُسَنَا قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبَ So because of this, yani the reality of what is at stake is the soul, we must take ourselves into account before we are ourselves taken into account. We must take ourselves into account. Do I really believe? How strong is my faith? Am I being obedient to Allah Azza wa Jal in public and in private? Am I performing the obligations in a manner pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal? Or am I just following my whims and my desires? One would take himself to account in this life before they are taken into account. Well, she says, وَهَذَا أَبْلَغُ فِي التَّأْثِيرِ عَلَيْهَا حَتَّى قَالَ الشَّاعِرِ And this is more beneficial and more extreme with regards to having effect on the soul. And whenever a person, meaning that the one who really wants to have effect on their soul, that they take their self into account. That they don't let others take them into account and speak about them, but rather they look at their own situation with sincerity and they take their self into account. Because a person, he knows his reality. And the likes like this. She says, the poet, he says, مَعْلَمَ نَفْسِي مِثْرُ مَا مَعْلَمَ نَفْسِي مِثْرُهَا لَائِمٌ وَلَسَدَّ فَقْرِي مِثْرُ مَا مَلَكَتْ يَدِي She mentioned a line of poetry which means that no one has ever blamed my soul except for the way that I have, or it has blamed itself. And meaning the way that the one who truly takes the soul into account is the person himself, because he knows his reality. This is whenever a person will be sincere with himself and be truthful and look at the reality of his own situation. And likewise, nothing, the poet continues, that nothing has stopped my own poverty or put an end to my own poverty except my own hands. So meaning that a person, he will take charge of his life. A person will take charge of himself and not blame others and say it's because of them or because of this one or because of that one or because of this. Rather, they'll take their self into account and they'll hold their self accountable for their actions and their statements, and they'll look into their record and what they have done in the past and see what they have from good and see what they have from bad, and the bad they will try to rectify that and to fix it and to adjust that and the likes, and whatever they have from good, then they will say Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And likewise, the person will strive against his own soul. This is the point here. So she says, وَالنَّفْسُ هِيَ تُحِبُّ الرِّيَاضَةَ وَالرِّفَاهِيَةَ The soul, it loves to have pleasure or relaxation and luxury. وَلَهَا حَقٌ فِي حُدُودِ الشَّرِّ. And it has the right within inside the limits of the legislation. And not to misunderstand. One wouldn't want to misunderstand that purifying the soul doesn't mean that the person can never have fun, or can never laugh, or can never enjoy any pleasure, or can never have anything that is nice and good. That's not the intent here. The intent here is that the soul, it loves to have good, and it loves to have pleasure, and it loves to enjoy itself in luxury. And this is something that if it is checked and it is kept refrained inside the limits of the legislation, then it's permissible and good. And actually the soul, it has a right, as she mentions, وَلَهَا حَقٌ فِي حُدُودِ الشَّرِّ. The soul, it has a right to have pleasure. The soul, it has a right to have good. The soul, it has a right to have this luxury and ease. But that is within the limits of the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. She says, كَمَا فِي الصَّحِحَيْنِ وَغَيْرِهِمَا عَنْ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ بِنْ عَمْرِ رضي الله عنهما, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا الْحَدِيثِ. So she said, this just has come in the Sahihain, and other than them, from the narration of Abdullah ibn Amr رضي الله عنهما, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, and verily your soul, it has a right upon you. Verily your soul, it has a right upon you. Yani within the limits, it has a right to have ease, and it has a right to rest. Meaning that a person, he wouldn't fast all day and all night, and he wouldn't fast every single day. Rather, the soul, it has a right to eat and to rest and to rejuvenate and gain in strength. Likewise, the person, he wouldn't stand in the night prayer all night long, from after Isha, for example, all the way until Fajr. It would stand some and it would rest some. This is the way the soul, inna an-nafsa alayka haqqan. Verily, the soul, it has a right upon you. So this is the case. It has the right to relax. It has the right to enjoy some relaxation, and has the right to pleasure and the likes like this. But this is confined and understood within the limits of the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Within the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal. So she says, وَالصِّحَّةُ لَا تَدُومُ فَلَا بُدَّ أَنْ يَعْقُوبَهَا سُقْمٌ وَلَوْ لَمْ يَكُنْ إِلَّا كِبْرَ السِّنِ. Now she says that, and good health, yani referring back to the issue we discussed before, and the issue of health. Good health, it does not last forever. Rather, there must come along with it, or after good health, there must come disease or illness. Even if that disease is nothing other than old age. Either a person will be healthy and then become sick, or even if they stay healthy for a long period of time until they become old. At this time, old age will inflict them. Old age will inflict them. So even if they were free from illness and disease the majority of their life, if they live to grow old, they cannot run from the sickness of old age. From the sickness of old age. So she says, no doubt that health and good health, it does not last forever. It does not last forever. Whether somebody must become ill or sick, even if that sickness is considered old age. فَإِنَّ كَبِيرَ السِّنِّ يُعَاقُ عَنِ الْعَمَلِ بِسَبَبِ الشَّيْخُوخَةِ الَّتِي قَدْ حَلَّتْ بِهِ. Because the one who was an elder or of old age, then verily it is not able, or it is stopped from doing the deeds that it used to do whenever it was a youth. And because of the old age has fallen or befell on an individual, they're not able to move like they used to move. They're not able to think like they used to think. They're not able to act like they used to act. So even if a person was healthy, the majority of their life, whenever they become old, their body becomes old, and they're not able to move, and they're not able to take advantage of the time that they have the way that they were whenever they were young, and they were healthy. So the issue here is, she's referring back now to the topic of taking advantage of one's life, taking advantage of one's time, because what's at stake is the soul. What is at stake is the soul. So a person has to work to purify the soul. The person has to work to gain the beneficial knowledge. The person has to work to apply that knowledge and to be obedient to Allah, and to work in the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to stay away from disobedience. This requires action. This requires effort. And even if a person is healthy today, maybe they will be sick tomorrow and they will not be able to have the effort that they had when they were healthy. And even if they did not become sick tomorrow, then old age is around the corner, and likewise they will not be able to perform in old age as they were whenever they were healthy. So then an intelligent individual who wants good for his own soul will take advantage of the time that they have now and their health and their youth. So she says some lines of poetry. يسر الفتى طول السلامة والبقى فكيف ترى طول السلامة يفعل يرد الفتى بعد اعتدال وصحة ينوء إذا رام القيامة ويحمل. And he's just mentioning that the person or youth is very happy to be to have a long life and health and the likes like this, but actually the long life and safety or health is not going to last. After one is being upright and strong and one being healthy, then in the end they will be weak whenever they try to stand and they will have to be carried. And so the meaning is that a person will not be healthy forever, and neither will they be young. So if a person finds himself or herself with health and strength, then they should take advantage of that in seeking to purify their soul and to make effort to please their Lord and to prepare their home in the hereafter. So she says, فَصِحَّةُ تُعِينُ الْمُوَفَّقَةُ عَلَى شُؤُونِ دِينِهِ وَدُنْيَاهِ. That good health, it helps an individual, the one who has been given success in the affairs of its religion and its worldly affairs as well.
وَقَدْ قَالَ الصِّدِّيقُ أَبُو بَكْرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ كَمَا عِنْدِ بْنِ مَاجَهِ بِسَنَدٍ حَسَنٍ سَلُوا اللَّهَ الْمُعَافَاتِ فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يُؤْتَ أَحَدٌ بَعْدِ الْيَقِينِ خَيْرٌ مِنَ الْمُعَافَاتِ.
It has been mentioned and narrated from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu as Siddiq, as is collected in Ibn Majah with an authentic chain, which is considered Hassan, that he said, radiallahu anhu, ask Allah Azza wa Jal al-mu'afat, and he asked Allah Azza wa Jal for safety and health, and al-mu'afat as-salama, fi al-dini min al-fitnati wa fi al-badri min sayyil asqam. So al-mu'afat, Abu Bakr, he said to ask Allah for al-mu'afat. Al-mu'afat is to have safety and security in the religion from trials, and is also to be safe from diseases in the body and the likes. So al-mu'afat, he said, radiyallahu anhu, that a person has never been given something more better or beneficial after having certainty than al-mu'afat, So this is the case. Abu Bakr, he advised this, radiyallahu anhu, sabullaha and mu'afat, ask Allah for safety and security in the deen, likewise in health, in the body, from safety in the deen from trials, and safety and security in the body from diseases and illness. Because verily, a person has not given, was not given anything better after certainty than al-mu'afat. So she says, حَفِظَهَا اللَّهُ تَعَالَى وَمَا مِنْ إِنسَانٍ تَقِيٍ فرط في وقته وصحته ولم يغتنمها إلا ندم وتحسر وحزن وبكى والسعيد من اتعظ بغيره وليس من اتعظ به غيره. She mentions here, حفظها الله تعالى, that verily every individual who is pious or righteous, striving to be upright, if they were heedless or fell short with regards to their time, or they neglected their time and their wealth, and they did not take advantage of it, then verily they will regret that. And there's no righteous person that has neglected their time or wasted their time and their good health and did not take advantage of it, except that they will regret that, and they will grieve over that, and they will cry and mourn. And meaning that a person who understands the reality of life, that they were created to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that their soul is going to be held accountable, and in the end there is eternity that never ends, eternity of pleasure or eternity of pain, eternity of paradise or the eternity of the hellfire, then they will have regret what they have wasted from their time and their life. Because everything that happens in this life, this is the time for action. This is the time for preparation. The ones who have a scale of good deeds heavier than their bad deeds in the hereafter, then they will have good. So this is the time for preparing those skills. This is the time for working for the hereafter. And this life is the life of an amal bila hisab. This is the life of action without recompensation. And the hereafter, darul hisabi bila amal, is the home or the abode of recompensation or recompense without action. So then no one who knows about this reality and then they wasted their time and did not take advantage of it, except they would regret that in the end, and they would have remorse over what they have wasted. And she says, وَالسَّعِيدُ مَنَ اتَّعَظَ بِغَيْرِهِ, and the one who is successful and happy is the one who takes an admonition from others. وَلَيْسَ مَنَ اتَّعَظَ بِهِ غَيْرُهُ, and not the one who others take an admonition from him. And the people who are wise and the people who are successful, they see the errors of others and they learn from them, and thus they do not fall into those same errors. But the people who are miserable and they have lost, they are the ones who themselves have fallen into those errors, and they are tried and they have become an admonition for others. When others see them, they say, A'udhu billahi, that I would be like that. A'udhu billahi, that I would fall into what they fell into. Like this. So the one who is successful is the one who himself, the one who is successful is the one who takes an admonition from others and then learns the lesson and does not fall into those foul paths. And the one who is tried and the one who is the miserable one is the one who himself would be an admonition for others. So she says here, وَذَلِكَ, here in the book it says, وَذَلِكَ, وَذَلِكَ الْفَرَاغُ سَيُسْلَبُ الْيَوْمَ أَوْ غَدًا, وَذَلِكَ الْفَرَاغُ سَيُسْلَبُ الْيَوْمَ أَوْ غَدًا لِهَذَا يَقُولُ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. I think that, and Allah knows best, there is a mistake here. It should say, وَكَذَلِكَ, وَكَذَلِكَ الْفَرَاغُ سَيُسْلَبُ الْيَوْمَ أَوْ غَدًا. Here in the word I'm reading on page 23, it says, وَذَلِكَ. And it's more correct, and Allah knows best. I think there's a mistake here. It should say, وَكَذَلِكَ الْفَرَاغُ. And likewise, الْفَرَاغُ, she's talking about here, صِحَة. And now she moves to talking about the point of الْفَرَاغُ, any free time. So then it's more right to say, وَكَذَلِكَ الْفَرَاغُ سَيُسْلَبُ الْيَوْمَ أَوْ غَدًا لِهَذَا يَقُولُ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ كَمَا عِنْدَ مُسْلِمٍ مِنْ حَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ بَادِرُوا بِالْأَعْمَالِ فِتَنًا كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ يُصْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا يَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرَضٍ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. الله أكبر. So she says, and likewise, al-faragh, free time, it also will be taken, it will be stripped today or tomorrow. And if somebody finds they have free time today, maybe tomorrow they will become preoccupied and busy. If they have free time this morning, maybe by the evening time they will not have free time and they will be busy. So that means that a person should take advantage of that free time in the same way they take advantage of their health. So she says here, وَلِهَذَا يَقُولَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, about this free time and the health. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, as is narrated by Al-Imam Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiyallahu anhu, he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hasten to do good deeds, hasten to do good deeds before trials come, before calamities and trials come, fitanan ka qita'i al-layl al-mudhlim, before trials they will come and they will be pitch black, like the dark, there will be trials like the pitch black night. They will be dark, dark trials and calamities. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam resembled them, كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ, like the pitchness of the dark night, the pitch blackness of the dark night. That's how these fitan are described in this narration, meaning that people will not be able to see which one is upright and which one is good, which one is the right way. When the trials come, some people, they are confused with regards to the correct way to go. Whenever the trials and the calamities befall the people, whether they're in the deen or in the dunya, some people, they're not able to see clearly with regards to these fitan, because they cover the people, and some of them are pitch dark, like the pitch black night, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is warning here. So before these fitan come, because whenever a person is involved in fitna, he's not able to act and to worship in the manner as before. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is warning, for one thing, of these fitan coming, that there will be dark trials that people will not be able to see clearly through them. Many people will be like this. So before they come, badiru bil amal, hasten to do good deeds. So this is a reference to taking advantage of the time before one is preoccupied, before the fitan come. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is advising, do the good deeds. Meaning because whenever the fitan come and the trials come like this, a person will be preoccupied and not be able to do the good deeds. And this is the point for mentioning here, the author, Hafizahullah ta'ala, this narration. That means that a person will take advantage of the time before they are preoccupied, take advantage of their time before their health is deficient or weak, and take advantage of the time before the trials come and a person is not able to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla and to prepare for the hereafter as they were before the fitan came, or as they were before the preoccupations came, or as they were before the sickness has come. So she mentioned the narration continues, يُسْبِحُ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِكْ كَافِرًا. Yani these fitan that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that a believer or a man will wake up in the morning as a believer and he will come to the evening as a disbeliever. وَيَبِيعُ دِينَهُ بِعَرْضًا مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. He will sell his religion for a portion of this life. So the point here from the narration is taking advantage of the time. Taking advantage of the time before the trials come. Taking advantage of one's time and one's life before they are preoccupied. And this is the case. So she says, وَكَانَ مِنْ تَوْجِيهَاتِ الْوَالِدِ رَحِمَهُ اللَّهِ اجْتَهِدُوا قَبْلَ أَن تَأْتِيَكُمْ الصَّوَارِفِ. She says here, حَفِظَهَا اللَّهِ, and it was from the guidance and the direction or the advices of the father, and meaning her father, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, Sheikh Muqbil ibn Hadi al-Wadi'i, رَحِمَهُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى, he would say to them or advise them, directing them to strive hard before the preoccupations or the distractions come. Strive hard, and he strive hard to learn, and strive hard to be upright before the occupations come, or the preoccupations or the distractions come. She says, وَالْمَشَاغِلُ تَتَنَافَى مَعَ طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. And these مَشَاغِلُ, المشاغل are distractions and preoccupations. They contradict or conflict with seeking knowledge. And these distractions, and now in these days are many. Many distractions and preoccupations or any affairs that would preoccupy an individual. There are many of them, and they conflict with seeking knowledge. وَالْمُذَاكَرَةِ وَالْحِفْظِ خُصُوصًا, with review and memorization specifically. She says, إِذَا كَثَرَتْ فَإِنَّهَا تُضْعِيفُ الذَّاكِرَةِ, that if these distractions and these preoccupying affairs, if they are to become abundant, then it will weaken the memorization. It will weaken the memory. وَلِهَذَا بَعْضُ الْعُلَمَاءِ لَمَّا وَلِيَ الْقَضَاءِ كَالشَّرِيكِ بْنِ عَبْدِ اللَّهِ النَّخَعِي سَاءَ حِفْظُهُ بِسَبِبِ الشَّوَاغِلِ. She said, because of this, some of the scholars, the ulama, that whenever they became judges and they took on the al-qada, becoming judges, then like Shariq ibn Abdullah al-Nakhai, rahimahullah, his memory became weak because of the preoccupations, because he's become preoccupied in all of these distractions dealing with the requirements of being a judge. And she says, وَبَعْضُهُمْ لَمَّا وَلِيَ الْقَضَىٰ ازْدَادِ عِلْمًا فَأَيُّ مَسْأَلَةٍ تَعْرِضُ لَهُ يَبْحَثُهَا كَالْإِمَامِ الشَّوْكَانِي وَالْبَرَكَةُ مِنْ اللَّهِ. She says, but on the other hand, likewise, there are some of those who have taken on the being a judge, and they increased in knowledge, because every time an issue approached them, they would research it, and they would increase in knowledge, like al-Imam al-Shawkani, rahimahullah, and the blessing, she says, is with Allah Azza wa Jal. The point here is that preoccupation, a person should take care of their time and their life before they become preoccupied or distracted. Because there are many things that maybe are not present today that will be there tomorrow. So if a person finds that they have time, free time and good health today, they should not think that that will remain forever. And that they should understand that this is a great blessing, and that they must take advantage of that, and that which is pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and that which is beneficial for their life, in this life and in the hereafter. Again, she's going to mention here in closing this chapter about the importance of time. She says, closing, she says, وَإِنَّ الْوَقْتَ ثَمِينٌ أَغْلَى وَاللَّهِ مِنَ الْمِلْيَارَاتِ وَالذَّهَبِ وَالْفِضَّةِ. She says here that verily time, it is precious, it is valuable, thameen. أغلى والله من المليارات والذهب والفضة. She says that verily the time, it is valuable. It is valuable and precious. It is more valuable, I swear by Allah, than millions, and more valuable than gold and silver. More valuable than gold and silver. Because in this life, the time, it goes away. And gold and silver, likewise, it goes away. But what goes with the person into the grave are his deeds that he has performed in that time, whether they are good or whether they are bad. As for the gold and silver, it does not go with him. She says, وَمَا ذَهَبَ مِنْهُ لَا يُمْكِنُ تَدَارُكُهُ حَتَّى يَرِجَ الْجَمَلُ فِي سَمِّ الْخِيَاطِ. And that which has passed from that time, there's no way to get it back. What has already passed from the time, there's no way to get it back until the camel can go through the eye of a needle. And I mean, the time doesn't come back. He can't get his time back, or she cannot get her time back. وَمَعَ ذَلِكَ فَقَلَّ مَنْ يَعْرِفُ قَدْرَهُ. Along with this greatness of this time and how precious and valuable it is, and the fact that one cannot gain the time that they have lost or get it back, then along with that, then how few people actually know the value of time. She says, وَقَدْ هَيَّأُوكَ لِأَمْرٍ لَوْ فَطِنْتَ لَهُ فَارْبَأْ بِنَفْسِكَ أَنْ تَرْعَى مَعَ الْهَمَلِ. Mentioning some lines of poetry that they have prepared you for a great affair if you were only to know. So, and you take care of your soul and do not go out with the heedless. وَلْنَكُنْ كَمَا قِيلَ. And we should be like, as has said, فَكُنْ رَجُلًا رِجُلُهُ فِي الثَّرَى وَهَمَّتُ هِمَّتِهِ فِي الثَّرَيَّ. So she says, we should be like as has been said, be a man who his foot is in the dirt and on the earth, but his concern and his aspirations are in the stars. And he think and he have good hopes and strive to do that which is good. So she says, ثُمَّ أَوْقَاتُنَا مُلْكٌ لِلَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. And the reality here is that our time, this is a possession of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is in the dominion, in the kingdom, and in the hands of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Our time, it belongs to Allah. وَمَا كَانَ مُلْكًا لِلَّهِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَجُوزُ تَصَرُّفُ فِيهِ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. And whatever belongs to Allah, then it's not permissible to use it or to use it except with His permission. Except with His permission, Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. يَقُولُ رَبُّنَا فِي كِتَابِهِ الْعَزِيزِ. Our Lord, He says in His mighty book, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Say, verily, say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily, my salat and my slaughtering of the animal and my life and my death, it is for Allah, Lord of the worlds, Lord of the worlds. So this again goes back to, has the chapter started with the intention of the niyyah, with the issue of the intention and the niyyah. And the one that has the proper intention is able to make their whole life for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is the one that is truly successful. قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So she says here, فَحْرِسِي عَلَى وَقْتِكِ. فَحْرِسِي, أي أنتِ أيها الأخت. عَلَى وَقْتِهِ, be diligent with your time, sister. She says, this is her direct advice to you, Muslima. Be diligent with your time, sister. وَعْمُرِيهِ بِكُلِّ خَيْرٍ. And establish and fill your time with everything that is good. فَإِنَّهُ رَأْسُ مَالِ. Because this is your main capital. And this is what you have in this life. The opportunity that you have in this life is in the time that you have been given, and that it's limited. The time that you have been given is limited in this life. She says, وَخُصُوصًا قَبْرِ إِنْجَابِ الْأَطْفَالِ. And take advantage of your time, sister, and fill your time with actions of goodness that will return back to you in good in this life and in the hereafter, especially before you have children. Especially before you have children. لِأَنَّ الْفَرَاغَ يُكُونُ أَكْثَرُ. Because before you have children, your free time will be more.
بخلاف التي لديها أطفال, contrary to the one that has children. فإنها لا تكون كذلك, because the one who has children, it will not be like this. She will not have the free time that the one who does not have children. This is sincere advice that she's mentioning here, that those sisters that have not yet had children, they should take advantage of their time even more. Because whenever they get married and they have children, they will have more obligations and more shawagil, more things that will preoccupy their time, and likewise sawadif, distractions. So take advantage, sisters, she says, of your time. If you're, especially before you have children. But even after you have children, likewise, continue taking advantage of your time. She says, فَهِيَ تُجَزِيُ وَقْتَهَا, because the one who has children, she has to divide up her time. وَاللَّهُ الْمُسْتَعَانِ, and Allah is the one who we seek His aid and His help. So she says, وَأَخْتِمُ هَذَا الْمَوْضُوعِ بِقَوْلِ الشَّاعِرِ, and I close this subject, this topic here, the topic of Al-Ikhlas and Al-Muhafadha Al-Waqt. She says, I close this with a statement of the poet, الوقت أنفس ما عنيت بحفظه وأراه أسهل ما عليك يضيع. Mentioning the lines of poetry that the time, it is the most precious thing that you try to preserve, and it is the easiest, likewise, that will be wasted and neglected. Yani time is the most precious thing that we have, and how easy it is to be neglected and to be wasted. And she says, ويقول الآخر, and another one, he says, أطلب ولا تضجرا من مطلب فآفة الطالب أن يضجرا ألا ترى الحبر بتكراره في الصخرة الصماء قد أثرا. So she mentioned here, closing this chapter with the lines of poetry, أطلب, meaning to seek knowledge, and do not become annoyed or become bored from seeking knowledge, because the calamity of the student is that they become bored, or they become annoyed, or they do not like to seek knowledge anymore. They become dajir. What dajir is to be annoyed, or to be sick of something, or to be tired of something, or to have to give up in something like this and to be tired with it. So do not be like this. Seek knowledge and do not become sick and tired or annoyed with seeking knowledge, because the calamity of the student is that they become like this. Do you not see that the rope, after repeating it over and over, pulling it back and forth on a hard rock, it will have an effect? And this is the example that is made by many of the ulama. For example, you find a stone that is very hard, but if they put the rope on it and they move it back and forth, after some time, that rope will have an effect in that stone. The rope will take effect in that stone, and it will carve through that hard stone, and it will have an effect on it, and it will leave a trace. Likewise, another example that has been made is that if you see that there is likewise a hard stone, but if a drop of water, one drop after another, were to drop after some time, it will take effect in that stone. Similarly, like this is the heart. Similarly, like this is seeking knowledge. And the heart, that sometimes in the beginning, the heart is hard, and it's hard to memorize, it's hard to learn, it's hard to recall the information. Sometimes it's hard to understand, or sometimes maybe one will understand it and then forget it the next day, or the likes like this. So maybe somebody, he said, they say, I can't remember, I can't memorize, it's so difficult. But this is the example here. Do not become bored, do not become annoyed, do not become upset, do not get tired of seeking knowledge, rather continue. Because the same way your heart is like this stone, drop after drop, in lesson after lesson, it will take effect. It will have an effect. It will have an effect eventually, inshallah. Likewise, the rope, whenever they pull it on the stone, eventually it takes effect. But it requires patience and perseverance. It requires patience and perseverance. So the author, she has began her book in this manner, with the advice to be sincere and to preserve one's time. And the sincerity, this is an affair of the heart. And this is where the rectification begins. It begins with the heart, and the tarbiyah begins with the tarbiyah of the heart, and to be upright and to have the sincere intention and to do the action sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and to have determination to take advantage of one's time, and likewise to take advantage of one's life and to purify their soul. The author, she will now begin the next chapter, and she has it entitled, this chapter, Hifdhu Lisani وَفَضْلُهُ, حِفْظُ اللِّسَانِ وَفَضْلُهُ, preserving the tongue and the virtue of the tongue.
And now after speaking about the heart and the affairs of ikhlas and sincerity, and then likewise taking advantage of one's time, now she directly goes into the next topic, which is to preserve one's tongue. And this chapter, she mentions several sub-chapters with regards to the diseases of the tongue and the dangers of the tongue and the importance of rectifying a person's tongue. And this is a very beautiful methodology, and many of the ulama of hadith, when they have authored works about al-adab al-shar'iyya, the legislated manners, they begin in this manner. They begin in this way, beginning with the manners of the tongue, because it is so very important, and likewise it is so very dangerous. Inshallah, in the next class we will begin from this chapter. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.